and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Rugby World Cup action resumes later Thursday evening when France hosts Uruguay in Lille. The French got off to a good start in the competition, beating three-time world champion New Zealand 27-13 in the World Cup's opening match, September 8th. It marked New Zealand's first ever loss in the pool phase. Now, this will be Uruguay's first match in the tournament, and while France is the favorite, it sounds like the South Americans will come to play in Lille. Ahead of the match, Uruguayan winger Ignacio Ficholo says, and I quote, "I want to play and test myself at the highest level. The group goal is to beat Italy and Namibia and qualify for Rugby World Cup 2027. We do not rule out the France and New Zealand games. We are going to play them as equals, and we are going to go out and win. Uruguay will never give up a game as a lost cause," end quote. Ficholo mentioned Namibia. The African team plays its next match on Friday against New Zealand in Toulouse, France. The Namibians lost their opening game to Italy 52-8 on September 9th. Meanwhile, defending Rugby World Cup champion South Africa will be back on the pitch Sunday when the Springboks play Romania in Bordeaux, France. South Africa beat Scotland 18-3 in its opening match. Kenya is not represented at the Rugby World Cup, but the African country can boast about the captain of Howard University's men's rugby team right here in Washington, D.C. The Kenyan Hillary Kangete captains the Bison of Howard. Voice of America intern Jordan Smith asked Hillary, "What does rugby mean to you?"
Man, first of all, when I play rugby here, it's like I'm still attached to something I came from home with. You know, I've been playing it again for like 8 years now, so I really enjoy having it, and it's also like an outlet. You know, it's a way to always stay active. It's a way for me to express myself, my leadership, and you know, just when I'm out there playing with my guys, it's just a different feeling. Like everything else doesn't matter. You just focus. You're just locked in onto the field, onto the game, and having fun. So, yeah, it comes with a lot of virtues. So, yeah, I really appreciate the sport.
What's your favorite part? Like the favorite aspect of actually playing rugby?
I think for me, it's how much it tests you. You know, you may be having fun, but it's also physically demanding. And so, for you to go over those barriers and just push yourself past your limit, that's just my favorite part. And you know, it's all fun. The whole process of it is just fun.
How'd you actually get introduced to rugby?
So it's like a major thing where when you go to high schools in Kenya, like rugby's a big sport. Mm-hmm. And so there was practice, and I just came in it knowing that once I touch high school, I'm going to be playing rugby. I've been seeing it since I was, you know, in middle school, and I'm like, I have to do this. So as soon as I saw the big guys playing in high school, I just couldn't wait till I get into high school. Because most middle schools don't play rugby back there. It's a pretty physical sport. So you're allowed to play once you get into high school. So once I got into it, that's just how I just fell in love with it, and I've never turned back from it.
So what made you fall in love with rugby?
It's just fun. It's physical. It's, you use your creativity. It's engaging. It's amazing. I mean, you have to try it for you to understand how much. I think for everyone who plays a sport or just has a hobby and a passion, there's just this drive it gives you when you're doing it. And that's just rugby for me. You know, when I'm being physical out there, being creative, being a leader, that's like when I'm in my element. So I really enjoy that.
So I know y'all got a new season coming up. What you think about the season? What are some of your goals and expectations for this upcoming season?
We're in year three, right? Year three? So year one, we already started making noise. You know, people know Howard got a team. Year two, we go off to the playoffs, and we end up playing in nationals.
Okay, that's so awesome. I think,
yeah, thank you. So I think it's just been upward. Shout out the women's team because they also went to nationals. So both teams representing at nationals just shows the kind of culture we could have at HBCUs with rugby. You know, we could really elevate it to a different level. And so for this season, it's definitely nationals again. Definitely continue spreading the culture around the school, around other HBCUs. And yeah, man, I think we're going to be a name to be remembered in like the next couple of years. But nationals for sure, we're going to be a problem. 100% we're going to be a problem.
What are some of the improvements you guys have made that makes you have such high expectations this season?
Man, I think the first year we were thin, you know. We'd have practices where we were 9 guys. And then last year it became 17. And now we keep recruiting. And, you know, it's not hard to teach the guys the game. But also we're carrying over some people from last year or the year before. And we're coming. So there's guys who now have 2 years, 3 years of experience that are coming up. And so we keep getting better and better from guys who had never played the sport before. And now they're 2 years deep into the sport. So I think as we've grown together as a team, not only have we gained like people getting experience, getting better at their skill, but it's also the chemistry that now we have as a team. Now we're like brothers on that field doing anything for each other. And we're bringing people up in that culture. So I think now that we've built this rugby culture here with that brotherhood, with that experience, I think that's what's going to make us the biggest problem out here. Yeah.
So have you seen a lot more interest from like just in general in America for rugby?
Definitely. I think rugby in the States is growing. If you look at sevens, if you look at 15s, they're starting to represent. Sorry, so those are like two different aspects of the game. Sevens, it's 7 guys. It's a quicker game, shorter minutes, fewer players. And then the U.S. are like really good at it now on that level. And then 15s, they're also building up. You'll find that there are more MLR is becoming bigger and bigger. There's more players going into the MLR. That's like the local, the US league for rugby. And I've just seen it growing, honestly. You know, now you drive across the street or you just see a sign like there's a rugby club now coming up. You at the Washington Monument, you see guys passing a rugby ball, and it's like the sport is growing here, and I think that aligns with our goals of not only spreading it in America, but also around HBCUs.
Man, that's awesome. I appreciate you. Thank you for coming out and having this interview.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to spread the word out there about Howard Rugby. And, you know, we're going to be remembered. So remember the name, because in the next couple of years, we're trying to make it a nice established program. As you know, it starts with us. And it starts with getting our name out there. So I really appreciate you for that.
That's Hillary Kungete, the captain of Howard University's men's rugby team. And Hillary spoke with Voice of America intern Jordan Smith here in Washington.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Now let's go to Uganda, where former national rugby team captain Edmund Tumusiime is helping young players develop their skills in the sport. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinge tells us more from Kampala.
None of you is communicating whole press. And because you're not communicating press, it means that you're disjointed.
Hunter, it's your role to make sure this team is all shouting and yelling. Ojara, do me a favor. Get everyone here to be yelling hold, hold, hold until the ball is lifted up and you press. I don't want you to be quiet. That call is the most important in this team defense. That call at the rack is the most important. Forget about tackling because you're going sixes and sevens. Do you understand? Guys, we need to be moving as a blanket. We press together as a blanket.
In a dim light evening, Chita the Primary School of Kamocha, a Kampala suburb, rugby coach Edmond Tumusime shouts instructions at his players as they engage in the final session ahead of the second division game the following day. He tells them communication is one aspect they must master if they are to succeed in their rugby careers. Not even the low light and the coldness of the evening demoralized the budding rugby players from competing for a chance to be selected ahead of the game. One of the players here is 16 years old. Maclem Sewanyana is scrum half.
So you need to hear, always come early, work on night passing, work on the Broncos, 20, 50 meter runs, 20, 40, 60 meter runs. Yeah, try to gain that person.
Sewanyana started playing rugby some 4 years ago, but is now an integral member of the second division side, Eagles Rugby Club, that was mainly formed to accommodate emerging talented players like him. Sewanyana says he has learned a lot from his coach Tumusime and wants to emulate him. Play for the national team, the Rugby Cranes, and earn a professional contract abroad.
Like I've learned defense. If you can't defend, you can't put you on that team. So I also put in my mind that I have to defend to be on the team. So I kept on working on my tackles, on my speed, so that I could be everywhere the defender is, so that I could tackle him, get that ball back. Because that's the way we can get the ball back.
Another player here is 17 years old, Keith Mugisha, a play half. He says he learned that discipline and hard work pays.
First of all, I've learned timekeeping. Timekeeping is a problem, was a problem. But you get here for late, you get here for training late, you get punished for it. So you make sure the next time you're coming, you come early. Then we've also learned how to put in a shift for what we want, because winning is not easy. You have to put in the work to get the medal, to get the trophy. So we've learned to put in that extra shift, because we train Tuesday, Thursday, but you'll find that on Monday, someone is on pitch because they want, you know, they know what they want. You'll find on Wednesday, there is someone on pitch. You'll find on Saturday, we have no training, but there is someone on pitch. So we've learned that self-drive from the coaches, especially. We've learned that the wants, like how to want something and actually work for it. Mm. Yeah.
So when in the hopes, they're now friends, turned rugby brothers will make a dream, rugby friends.
We want ourselves to be seen on those international televisions that Uganda is really on the World Cup, because it's been long since Uganda had been in the World Cup. I want also to be like that, be like the captain, be a man of the match every game. And the help of the team, I think every young player out there really wants to push Uganda rugby to the sky limits.
But some of the budding players here have difficult backgrounds. 23 years old, Araptai Wille Ateng says he used to associate with bad groups where he learned antisocial behaviors. He says he's glad the game of rugby has turned him into a better person.
Actually, they used to make me aggressive. Actually, they had time when you take those bags. They make you aggressive.
But now actually, you're a man.
Yeah, I'm a changed man. We have 100% by now. So I can use my mental head to play the game.
The passer winger also has dreams of becoming a legend, just like his coach.
I want to join the national team. I want to be among those top players in the, not actually the national, worldwide. Because I say I can make it through all the life experience I've passed through since childhood up to now where I'm here. I can see sure I can make it. Because life changes step by step. See, once you want change in your life, change changes you.
Having retired at an early age, meaning to concentrate on his ICT engineering career, Edmond Tumusime, known as Edu in rugby circles, is arguably the best fly half to don the rugby crane's jersey. Yet, despite the praise, Ed remained humble and says he believes he wasn't exceptionally talented, but rather hardworking. He's glad he's impacting the game of rugby by training the young ones. At least twice a week, Coach Edu must spare some time and volunteer. Share skills and experiences with the players here.
We've created a philosophy. The club, we sold the philosophy. The players, they're bought into it and they're ready to fight for each other. When they are playing, you can see they are brothers and they're willing to do anything to get victory for the family. And that's how we were able to win the championship in the Central Region and subsequently qualifying for the playoffs to see who qualifies for the top national premiership level.
Will he consider coming back into active rugby and play for the national team? Edu answers, it won't matter as long as his impact is still felt on the pitch, at least indirectly.
I'm trying to transform and equip the young generation to take over. In fact, I keep telling them every day, and I think it's some motivation for them, some big motivation for them. I want them to actually make careers out of this sport. You've seen around some of these kids still come from the ghettos, by the way. Some of the boys playing for us come from ghettos and backgrounds which are very difficult. Some of them are actually the sole breadwinners. So I need their lives to be transformed. It's something from a humanitarian perspective. I have to make sure if we can't give them the money to look after themselves and their families, we can equip them and give them the skills and the facilitation for rugby to transform their lives and their families.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. My name is Edmond Tumusime. I am an ex-rugby international, Uganda. I am an African champion, won the Africa Cup in 2007, and also was the MVP Ugandan rugby in 2006. I currently coach a club called Eagles Rugby Club, but I've also coached different levels in Ugandan rugby. I'm passionate about coaching young children from ages 5 and above and actually run an academy at Chitante Primary School in Uganda. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Turning to tennis, Serbian star Novak Djokovic reclaimed the world number one ranking this week after winning his record-tying 24th major singles title at the U.S. Open in New York. Djokovic equaled the number of major championships won by the retired Australian Margaret Court. It's been another great year for the 36-year-old Djokovic, who lifted the trophies earlier in 2023 at the Australian Open and the French Open. Now, Djokovic was not allowed to play last year in the Australian Open and the U.S. Open because he was not vaccinated against the coronavirus. After beating the Russian Daniil Medvedev in this year's U.S. Open final, Djokovic commented on returning to New York.
Obviously, different circumstances, Australia and here. I haven't played any tournament on American soil for 2 years, and the last time I was here, I lost in the finals against the same player I beat today. And, I really did my best in the last 48 hours not to allow the importance of the moment and what's on the line get to my head, because 2 years ago that's what happened and I underperformed and I wasn't able to be at my best and I was outplayed. So I learned my lesson, and my team, my family knew that the last 24 hours, don't touch me, don't speak to me about, you know, the history or what's on the line. You know, I really did my best to keep things quite simple and stick to the routines that brought me to where I am, and treat this match really as any other match where I just need to win. But of course, you know, lots of different thoughts going through your head. What if scenarios, you know, images that you have in your mind of, you know, what will look like if you win. And also if you lose, you know, so I'm trying to block those ones. Yeah, it was a big battle, I think, within in the last 24 hours to really just, you know, keep things simple and clear and prepare for this match in the right way, which I think I've done. I started the match really well. I'll just keep talking because I guess, you know, these are questions that are related to this. What probably made the difference in the key of the match was second set, almost 2 hours. I don't think I've ever played a longer set in my life, particularly not on this occasion against a top player like Danilo. Yeah, I think he was probably a better player in the second set. He deserved to win that set more than I did. Somehow I managed to turn things around in the tiebreak. And, you know, when it mattered, I put one ball into play more than he did. And that was enough. And then, you know, after that set break, I felt I regained my energy. So the third set was... I felt better than I did in the second. Honestly, in the second, I felt like, you know, I was losing air on so many occasions, in my legs as well. I don't recall being so exhausted after rallies, really, as I have been in the second set. But, you know, again, that's the occasion. That's when you play, you know, Daniil, who is, you know, one of the best players in the world in making you play always an extra shot. And he has a big serve. When he hits his pot and he puts pressure on your service games, and on it goes. You know, it's like a never-ending story, really. And so I was very, very relieved to win the second set. And then, you know, I was just praying that he, you know, he's going to miss the last ball in the match point. I was not thinking about celebrations or anything like that. It was just about really winning the match and then hugging my daughter and son, my wife, parents, you know, closest people that were here as my family and my team. That was what I wanted to do first, you know, to share these emotions with them.
That's Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic speaking in New York after winning the U.S. Open title. And after playing mainly Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, and Andy Murray for so many years in Grand Slam finals, this year, Djokovic has had four different opponents in major finals.
The rivalries that I had with these guys were so strong and solid that it was a very high probability that I'll face either Roger or Rafa or Andy in the finals of a slam for most of those years when we were, you know, facing each other at the highest of the levels. Nowadays, that's different. I don't mind playing different players in the slams as long as I win. But I did play three epic matches with Alcaraz this year, and I think that's why there's a discussion or debate on the next rivalry, you know. And I said all I needed to say in a positive way about Carlos. I do really mean it, and I think it's great that for our sport that we have another very good rivalry. I mean, I know he has also a great rivalry with Sinner, and you have Rune, you have these guys, you have, of course, generation of Zverev, Tsitsipas, Medvedev, you know, these guys that are still at the top five, top 10 in the world. So they're great players. You know, I think judging by the attendance of people and all slams, and, you know, the kind of a hype that goes around the Grand Slams, tennis is still in a good place. You know, players come and go. It will be the same kind of destiny for me, you know. Eventually, one day, I'll leave tennis in about 23, 24 years. And there's going to be new young players coming up. So till then, I guess you'll see me a bit more.
Sounds like we'll see a bit more of Novak Djokovic. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the voice of America's longest-running English language program. Music Time in Africa was founded in 1965 by the VOA's late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian. In Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves are once again celebrating a division title, as we hear now from the AP's Mike Reeves.
The Braves are National League East Division champions for the sixth consecutive season after defeating the Phillies 4-1 in Philadelphia. Austin Riley led the Atlanta offense with his 35th home run of the season.
This game's so hard and it's so easy to get down on yourself, and I don't think we take every day for what it's worth. And we come out and have fun. We work hard. I love each and every one of these guys.
Yordan Alvarez, Alex Bregman, and Kyle Tucker hit home runs in the Astros 6-2 win over the A's as they stay in first place in the AL West. Houston was two outs away from a combined no-hitter when Ryan Noda singled off of Ryan Presley. Hunter Brown worked the first five innings to pick up the win.
I thought my curveball was probably better than it's been in a month or so. I felt like the line out of hand was a lot better. And then pairing that with the fastball that I thought, had a little bit more ride today.
The Rays moved to within two games of the first place Orioles in the AL East when they beat the Twins 5-4 in Minnesota, while Baltimore was losing 1-0 to the Cardinals. Tampa Bay took the lead in the ninth inning on a solo home run by Randy Arozarena. Rays skipper Kevin Cash.
This is the time of the year that you probably need your best players to perform best, and Randy certainly is one of ours.
Other MLB winners were the Giants, Mariners, Reds, Rangers, Marlins, Padres, Mets, Rockies, Pirates, and Royals. The Yankees and Red Sox were rained out. Rangers starting pitcher Max Scherzer will miss the remainder of the regular season with a strained muscle in his shoulder. Safety concerns are on the minds of NFL players after Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers suffered a torn Achilles tendon on an artificial turf field on Monday. Gethin Coolball reports.
The NFL Players Association wants the league to switch all its fields to natural grass. Executive Director Lloyd Howell says NFL players overwhelmingly prefer grass. He also says data makes clear that grass is safer than artificial turf.
I'm Mike Reeves.
Thanks, Mike. Finally, with Morocco dealing with a devastating earthquake, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to one of the country's greatest athletes, Hisham El Gharouj. El Gharouj is celebrating his 49th birthday on this Thursday. His athletic highlight took place in Athens in 2004. El Gharouj won Olympic gold medals at both 1,500 meters and 5,000 meters. He and the late Paavo Nurmi of Finland are the only men to win gold medals at both 1,500 meters and 5,000 meters at the same Olympic Games. El Gharouj also still holds the world records for 1,500 meters and the mile. Happy 49th birthday, Hisham El Gharouj. that wraps up the September 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Wow, I get it.